Friends, in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. God's word this morning, again from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And when they were ended, those days of his hunger, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him high on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is God's word. Please be seated. A number of years back, there was a 2020 episode that showed some children, about 4 years old, struggling with a temptation. These poor kids were left in this little room, sitting in front of a table with a little pile of M&Ms, 3, 4, 5 M&Ms on the table. And they were told that they could just wait for 5 minutes for a bell to ring without eating those M&Ms. They could have a whole bag of M&Ms. And the struggle of these kids with their temptation was recorded then through a two-way mirror, and the result was these hilarious shots of these poor kids twitching and fidgeting and twisting and contorting their faces as they're trying not to grab those M&Ms in front of them on the table. And as the experiment progressed, about half the kids made it. But the other half said, in effect, "Forget this. I want what I want when I want it." And they forfeited the larger prize for the immediate gratification. The consequences to those children were mild, at least from an adult perspective. Although I have to say, if I had forfeited a bag of M&Ms, that would be pretty serious stuff. But as a result, but for us, the results of caving into temptation can really be devastating. And we've seen it happen so many times. A judge goes to prison for taking a bribe, or a teacher gets caught having an inappropriate relationship with a student, or even a pastor gets caught up in a prostitution sting. Or maybe it's somebody just like you, who really did pay some very serious price for some temptation that you caved into. Or if you didn't pay a price, maybe you're paying the price internally, because for years you've been suffering the pangs of a guilty conscience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, St. Paul says that Satan is the god of this world. So to live in this world is to be tempted by him. But the good news is that unlike those children who were left alone with their M&M temptation, we are never left alone in the hour of our temptation. Our Savior is with us in the thick of it. And as we learn in the gospel reading today, he is very much in touch with the depth of our struggles because he has been there. He's faced it, and far worse than we would ever face. Right after his baptism, before he ever preaches a word of the gospel or ever touches one hurting life, he is slammed with these crushing temptations. Luke says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. I like the way another gospel writer says it. It says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, almost like he had to be pushed out there unexpectedly, because the Father is now taking him to boot camp, where he's going to toughen up his son for some very, very difficult temptations to come, as if these weren't difficult enough. And these are powerful temptations, mostly because they come at a very vulnerable point for Jesus. And that's the way the devil works, doesn't he? He shows up at those most vulnerable points when we are tired or upset or emotionally and spiritually strung out and at the end of our rope. It's what Luke calls the opportune time. Opportune, not for us, of course, but for the devil. He strikes when we are hurting, when we are depressed, when we are financially distressed, and he's unrelenting. Even Jesus, after this episode, has not seen the last of this enemy. He will be back at another opportune time, because with the devil, it's never over until you've left this world in which he rules. That's tough news, I know. But as I said, there's also good news, especially as compared to what might have happened in this account. Can you imagine, in his severely weakened state, if Jesus simply was not able to withstand anymore? If he had failed these tests, there would be no Christian faith, and we would have no Savior. But the flip side is just as amazing. If Jesus doesn't cave in, an incredible spiritual reality emerges. A brother of ours in the flesh has finally stood up to this old evil foe and has defeated him. One of us has finally won the battle. He won the battle for our side, for humanity. And he holds the field forever. And we never have to face life's horrendous temptations alone again. Now, there are three striking issues that jump out of Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus Christ. So let's go over them. First issue is the temptation to neglect your spiritual life and the needs of your spirit. Our culture does not put a very high value or priority on our spiritual dimension. And because we are all the products of our culture, this is a weak spot that Satan is going to try to exploit. Expect him to attack right where your culture has weakened you, just like he attacked when our Lord was weakened. Go ahead, take care of yourself. Is that the voice of our culture or of our enemy? It's both, isn't it? Take care of yourself. You're hungry. Go ahead and turn that rock into a piece of bread. It's okay. You're tired. Turn your Sunday morning into some leisure time with your family at home. You deserve that. And you don't have everything you want in this world, so turn your money into some little toy that you've always wanted or something that pleases you. You've earned it. Oh, and you've been working very hard, so turn your free time into some time to indulge yourself. Nothing wrong with that. And the insidiousness of these temptations is not that it's sinful in itself to satisfy your hunger or to enjoy some leisure or to buy an item that you've wanted or even to indulge yourself once in a while. The danger is that these things creep up on us until they've taken over to the neglect of our spiritual lives. So every Sunday morning suddenly becomes about leisure time. All of our money becomes about buying the things we want. All of our free time is about indulging ourselves. And we stop worshiping and we stop giving and we stop serving because we've lost touch with the Spirit. That's why Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Eating in and of itself would not have been sinful for Jesus, but putting his fleshly will ahead of the will of his Father and using his power for himself instead of for us, and instead of trusting his Father, that would have destroyed him as our Savior. So, Are you being tempted to neglect the needs of your spirit? There is somebody who is with you in the thick of that temptation and wants to strengthen you. Issue number two is the temptation to worship whatever gives us the most benefits right now. It's really the same temptation as the first one. It's just gussied up a little bit differently. It's the immediate allure and the gratification of the world's riches versus the delayed riches that God offers us. Worship me, and you can have everything you want right now. The world and its riches and its pleasures, you can have it right now. Of course, the fine print on that deal says that you get the world as is, broken and ruined and separated from the Creator, and you don't get what God offers you later on. You don't get the bag of M&Ms. You just get the few M&Ms now. But it's a whole lot easier to gratify yourself now than it is to take up a cross and to follow God and to deny yourself until some future time. This is a powerful temptation that hits us right where those children were hit in their temptation with the M&Ms. Our short-sightedness and our impatience. We just can't seem to resist what's in front of us right now, even if it means we lose a bigger prize later on. And Jesus shows us how to slam the door on that temptation. Worship. You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And He said that, of course, knowing that worshiping God meant for Him that He was going to have to take up His cross. But He trusted God for a larger prize, a delayed reward of being able to spend all of eternity with us in His kingdom. So I ask you, is Satan attacking you right now at the point of your short-sightedness? That you would forfeit a bigger prize later on? And the third issue is this temptation to demand that God prove Himself, which is basically to trivialize God. If God is so great, then make Him prove it to you by some little parlor trick or some little miracle. Go ahead, throw yourself down. He'll catch you, right? That's what He said. You trust Him, don't you? Oh, it's an insidious temptation, and I know because I have myself fallen into it. God, if you're out there, if you really care about me, somehow prove it to me. Give me a sign of some kind. And sometimes it might be something trivial. God, if you'll just get me that date with that cute little redheaded girl, I'll come to church more often. And sometimes it's very serious. God, if you will show me you care by healing my husband and sparing his life. Can you imagine if God worked that way? He would become little more than our genie in a bottle, wouldn't he? And we would abuse him as we abuse every good thing. Here's the thing. If God were to prove Himself on our terms, instead of asking us to trust Him on His terms, He becomes trivial, and faith becomes pointless. So Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Instead, you shall trust that His ways are the best, although, of course, you will not understand His ways." But that's what trust is all about, isn't it? Are you being tempted right now to put God to the test, to trivialize God? There is one who is with you in that temptation to bolster you and to strengthen you. So the next time temptation sneaks up on you and grabs you by the throat, and trust me, it will, at an opportune time, turn immediately to the one who has already survived what you're going through. Oh, not only did he survive it, but he triumphed over it valiantly, and he gives you his victory through faith in him. And not only,
Not only does he understand what you're going through, he is with you in the thick of your temptation. And he is able by his forgiving grace to strengthen you and to get you through it victoriously. If I were to have read one more verse beyond our gospel reading today, we would have read these words. Then Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to Galilee. Those were some very tough days for our Lord in that spiritual wilderness boot camp, because the Father was training him, toughening up his son for an even greater temptation that would one day come. But he went away from it victorious for us, thank God. And he can strengthen you to be victorious in your temptation. I'm reminded of those TV commercials where somebody is offered a cigarette and they deny it because they have a patch on. And after they've denied the cigarette, the little band on the table or something strikes up the song, I just want to celebrate. Hey, we can celebrate victory. You'll discover that every time you return from a temptation, victorious in Jesus Christ, you've gained a little more power in the Holy Spirit, a little more toughness for the next battle, a little more joy, and a little more confidence in the promises of God. And you'll be a little more like Jesus. And that's something to celebrate. In the name of our Savior, amen. Friends, may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.